The following message was preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church, Oak Harbor, Washington.
Well, in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read just a few verses, verse 22 through 24, and you'll see that it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's probably been pointed out to you from this pulpit or somewhere else that fruit there seems to speak of the singular as opposed to fruits of the Spirit. Now, that speaks in the singular, but the fruit of the Spirit. And then it lists off how many different components of that fruit. If you memorize it, you probably did a 3x3. So, times is 9. All right? So, 9 components. So, is this kind of a buffet fruit, fruits of the Spirit? We pick and choose. I like that fruit. I don't like that fruit. Or are they components, one and the same? You have the Spirit of God residing within you, and you either submit to Him, yield yourself to His control, or you don't. Or do you say, well, I'll yield this part so I can have this fruit, but I won't yield that part because I don't like that fruit? Or is it the fruit of the Spirit, which is comprised of all of these? And if you would argue the opposite, no, it's really, in the Greek, it's plural. I don't know. Or whatever. Then I would say, okay, which one is unbiblical? Which one do you not want in your life? This is all a setup to just basically so I can pick any component that I want tonight, and you'll have to go with me there. And not be able to argue that, well, that's just not my gift. Well, it doesn't say gift. It says fruit of the Spirit, and we're to be fruity. Amen? Fruitful? Okay. Amen. Fruity. So all that to say, I don't believe we can separate out any one of these and just say that's bad fruit. The rest are good. So I believe you would agree with me there. So Galatians chapter 5, reading 22 through 24 from the Word of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Which one has the Lord directed Pastor Geis to tonight? Which component? Well, if you were in Sunday school this morning, you would know it has to start with perhaps a T. Temperance. Oh, but that's the last one listed, so certainly it's not an important component of the fruit of the Spirit. Though certainly all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every or all, unto all good works. So we can't separate out any of them. So temperance, a component of the fruit of the Spirit, which if you're jumping up and down saying, if you're jumping up and down saying, I have God indwelling within. From the instant I called upon the Lord to save my soul, He took up residence, and there's an ongoing battle between the flesh and the Spirit, whether I yield to the indwelling Spirit of God or not. But praise God, I have the Spirit, and I want to yield to Him and have all these things. So that would include temperance. What is temperance? Big picture. Temperance speaks of two words, the first one being self. Control, self-control, temperance. So we get that. So in what specific area of your life would you typically apply that to? And there might be many answers there. It might be different for different ones here. Temperance or self-control. Eating. Amen. I was just remarking to my wife this afternoon, you know, we don't preach a whole lot on temperance as applied to eating, although this time of year, maybe it would be good, or maybe it would be bad, from the whose perspective we're talking, the preacher or the preachee. Eating, okay, that would certainly be biblical. Bible speaks of gluttony, and certainly a sin of lack of control in that area. What was the one you were saying? Spending, but also this time of year, okay. Anything else? That'd be a bit, huh? What'd you say? Oh, I didn't hear it, but maybe it's good. Here. Speech, self-control in our speech. Better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt, as supposedly Abraham Lincoln said. The Proverbs say it in so many words, so it's a biblical thought. Wow, no one's sitting, maybe you have, and I just have Christmas cookies in my ears. I was going to say, eating in the temperance societies in the U.S., what were they all about? Was it about food, spending, speech, any of those things? Alcohol. American Temperance Society was established 13 February 1826 in Boston. Go figure, Sam Adams, the historical man that he was, brewing beer and causing all sorts of trouble there in Boston. So that was 1826. Within 5 years, there were over 2,000 local chapters in the U.S. with 170,000 members who had taken a pledge to abstain from drinking distilled beverages. Within 10 years, there were over 8,000 local groups and more than 1.5 million members who had taken the pledge. So historically in the U.S., when you would think of temperance or self-control, to a large degree, it was applied to the area of alcoholic beverages. In Proverbs chapter 20, for example, the opening verse would speak about that. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I would certainly concur. So drinking, we could apply temperance or self-control to other forms of intoxicants, drugs in a broader sense. And as I didn't go backwards and read the works of the flesh, but if you back up a little bit, the works of the flesh, starting in verse 19 of Galatians 5 there, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. And I'll just stop there, pointing out that witchcraft comes from the word where we get our pharmacy, pharmacia or pharmakia. So there it's witchcraft, and in a couple places in Revelation chapter 9 and chapter 18, pharmakias is translated to sorceries. So sorceries and witchcraft seem to have an indication or a tie somewhat to lack of self-control in drugs and what that does to our bodies. Interesting tie there, drugs and witchcraft, drugs and sorceries. And you know, in the Old Testament it says, suffer not a witch to live. Pretty strong language. And so let me just read, and the message tonight is not about drugs and alcohol per se, and you'll see it when we get there. But I do want to read some warning signs for alcohol addiction, and then I'll roll right into some warning signs for addictions to drugs in a broader sense, not just alcohol, but other types of drugs. And this I just pulled off the internet from NCADD, National Council of Alcohol and Drug Dependence. I think I got that right. It doesn't really matter. So just listen to these. Certainly this is still intro, so if you're taking notes, I'll tell you when we get to the three main points. Just listen to these, and they make sense. Warning signs for specific to alcohol: temporary blackouts or memory loss, recurrent arguments or fights with family and friends, irritability, depression, mood swings, use of it to relax, to cheer up, to sleep, to deal with problems, just to feel normal, headaches, anxiety, insomnia, nausea when one stops drinking, drinking alone, drinking in secret, drinking in the mornings. Now broadening it to warning signs that would still apply to alcohol, but drugs in a greater sense. Loss of control, drinking or drugging more and longer than a person wants. So you say, well, I'm just going to have two drinks. And this is not about alcohol, but if this was a message on alcohol, I would certainly go to great pains in the Scriptures to show you how I believe that the Scriptures teach abstinence and not just, well, I'll have a little bit and I'll exercise temperance or self-control. I don't believe the Bible teaches that type of self-control. Have a few drinks so you lose your ability to control yourself and then tell yourself that you're exercising self-control. Now, that's certainly an oxymoron, and I believe the Scriptures teach otherwise. So just throw that out there, even though the message tonight really is not about temperance as applied to alcohol and drugs, but we're getting to the main application. So warning signs for drug addiction as a whole, and we'll see this really flowing from the fact that the flesh, whatever the fleshly desire is never, ever, 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 ever satisfied. But it's true. Loss of control, drinking and drugging more and longer than a person wants. So I'm just going to have 2 drinks tonight, and then that turns to 4 or 6. Neglecting other activities. These are warning signs that you're addicted. You're having a problem of temperance, of self-control related to alcohol or drugs. Neglecting other activities. Spending time with family, friends, just simple exercise. Neglecting hobbies that once were enjoyable and fruitful and beneficial in your life. Drop in attendance and performance at work or school. Maybe we could throw church in there. Risk-taking in order to obtain one's drug of choice. Relationship issues. Acting out against those that are closest to us. Because those are the ones that typically care the most for us. And those are the ones that out of that deep, passionate love and charity are going to want to be the interveners. Well, if you're intervening in someone that is hooked in the flesh of some drug or alcohol or maybe some other lust of the flesh that just has control of you, they're probably not just going to say, oh, I thank you for loving me. Let's deal with this. There's going to be some pushback there. And maybe some of you have some experience as an intervener or someone that someone had to intervene in your life and it was a rocky road. So relationship issues, secrecy, hiding an amount consumed or hiding activities that are partaken of when using drugs or alcohol, unexplained injuries or accidents, changing appearance, deterioration in hygiene, or just degradation of physical appearance, family history of some sort of addiction seems to increase the predisposition, and that's not saying it's not a sin. Well, my father struggled with this, therefore I do, and therefore God just looks over that. No, sin is sin. Tolerance. The body adapts, needing more and more for the same reaction. That's any addiction of the flesh, no matter what it is. The flesh will never, ever be satisfied. And so that would be a warning sign if there's an addiction problem, if it's taking more and more of whatever that fleshly addiction is to so-called satisfy. It's never going to. It's just going to require a little more and a little more. Withdrawal leading to anxiety, jumpiness, shakiness, depression, irritability. Ongoing use despite bad consequences. Got demoted or lost my job, but still involved in it because it has such a powerful addiction that the flesh, what a crazy thing. It just needs to be crucified daily. Anyway, so you lose your job, still partaking. Destruction in relationships, still doing it. Destruction of your own health and still ongoing use. These are warning signs of addiction of drugs. Well, we're not talking about those type of drugs or we're not talking about alcohol tonight. I want to speak about an application of temperance here to digital drugs. Some of you, many of you are probably thinking, yeah, good. I'm not an addict. And now all of a sudden, what am I speaking of? Digital drugs. Well, you already know because you're already going, mobile or non-mobile types of electronics, phones, tablets, smartphones, dumb phones, any other phones in between, anything else. Again, mobile type devices, non-mobile type devices, PCs, laptops. Gaming machines, any sort of electronic digital forms of amusement, entertainment, tools that we use on a regular basis, digital drugs. And you think, well, that's kind of a wacky jump from alcohol and, you know, pick a drug, marijuana, or kind of a wide jump from that to digital electronics. And yet listen to me as I read the warning signs again and make application to electronics in your life. Temporary blackouts or memory loss. Have you ever had hours of your time just vanish into thin air? not because you blacked out from alcohol, but because it just went into a digital world. How come it's so silent out there? Recurrent arguments or fights with family and friends. I'm not sure about that. Irritability, depression, mood swings. Mood swings from your digital intake. You lost a game. Maybe you're a gamer and you lost and now you're in a bad mood. A mood swing just because of your digital consumption. Let's say your digital consumption is a bunch of news headlines. Well, do you find yourself swinging in moods? And I've seen it with some of you. I've probably seen it with myself. And a whole lot of this is staring at the mirror of God's word in my face. Mood swings just in seeing headlines around the country. Yeah. Or the stock market. I used to really, really watch close my IRAs and how different mutual funds were doing on a daily basis, and it affected my mood. Now I have a long-term picture and viewpoint, so let's forget that. Sports, do you have a mood swing based on whether your team won or lost? Is that bad? I shouldn't ask what happened today to your team, whoever your team is. Use of your electronics, a digital diet to relax, to cheer up, to sleep, to deal with problems, to feel normal. Do you feel not normal if you had, for circumstances beyond your control, had to go cold turkey for a couple hours without your little mobile pocket whatever device? Headache, I don't know about that. Anxiety, I've seen that look of anxiety on some of you when you're separated from your electronics. Insomnia, nausea when one stops. Well, I don't know of anyone that literally throws up if they can't have their electronics, but maybe so. Partaking of this digital diet alone, in secret, in the mornings. This wasn't in my notes, but I added it. In the restroom. And you're thinking, really? I was in a restaurant the other day, earlier this week, and there was someone in there talking on the phone, and it just really struck me as odd and awkward. Loss of control, drinking / drugging more and longer than a person wants. I'm just going to jump in my electronics, whatever the case may be. I'm going to devote 15 minutes, and then it turns into 2-3 hours. Neglecting other activities, family, friends, exercising, other hobbies. Drop in attendance and performance at work or school. I hope people get fired at work for using electronics too much as opposed to actually doing what the boss tells them to do. Are there employers out there that are willing to do that? I hope so. Risk-taking. In order to obtain one's drug of choice. I don't know how that would apply. Relationship issues. Lashing out at someone that has the audacity to tell you maybe you're addicted, maybe you're consuming too much electronics. No, I'm not. Secrecy. Hiding the amount consumed. Or the activities that you're partaking of when consuming digital type of electronic diet. I don't know about this one, unexplained injuries or accidents, unless you have a virtual reality thing on and you think you're skiing and you jump off a wall. I don't know. Changing appearance, deterioration in hygiene or just a plain physical appearance. I've seen this. You read headlines of people dying from staying up for multiple days at a time because they're gaming. That's quite the extreme. But it's not just one headline I've read. I've read that through the years. Family history. I would say that would point out if mom and dad tend to be digital drug addicts that there's a predisposition for your children to become digital drug addicts. That's quiet. Tolerance, as your body adapts, you need more and more for the same reaction. Withdrawal, causing anxiety, jumpiness, shakiness, depression, irritability. I've seen that. And then ongoing use despite of bad consequences. You know, you get spoken to by the boss because you're sitting there shopping online or constantly texting or you're just being distracted from your work and you get talked about it, but it's just such a the claws of it are in you so much that you just continue, even at the risk now of losing your job. Interesting, I found, how many of these warning signs apply very directly to a digital drug addiction. What are some of the broad negative aspects of a digital addiction? And this is really, really long intro. The 3 points will go really long as well. No, pretty quick. But I'll tell you, here are your three T's, boom, 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 when we get there. A lot of the electronics we have today are, a lot of them are tools, I understand that. And maybe this is the point where I throw in, I had it at the end, but I'll tell you now, Pastor Geist is not against technology. Technology is not evil, as I was told many years ago. And I like technology. I like the efficiencies it gives us in our lives. And so I'm not saying that the use of any electronic device is evil and wicked and wrong. I'm saying looking at the temperance, which will be our first tea tonight when we get back to it, certainly if it's a matter of lack of control in your life and it's affecting other areas of your life, it is a problem and it is sin. And that's why I told my wife, I have a very long intro, because if I can't convince people from the Word of God that a matter of intemperance as applied to this particular area of your life, or really in any area of your life, of fleshly addiction, if I can't convince you that this is a proper biblical application of a component of the fruit of the Spirit being temperance, if I can't convince you that a lack thereof is sin, then why even bother to go and preach the points? And so I'm belaboring it a little long, but I think it's necessary. A lot of the electronics in our life are used for amusement. And maybe this is more, I would say, more and more the younger generation, but not necessarily. I think, I believe, for the most part, this cuts across the swath of ages listed here, although obviously older generations would not necessarily statistically have the appeal or the lusting of their flesh in this particular area. Can be, not necessarily, as I would look at my parents or my father-in-law, for example. But a lot of times, electronics are used for amusement. And let's break that word down. What does amusement mean? To muse is to think, so amuse is to not think. Is that scriptural? To not think. To use something to enable you to not think. Is that scriptural? Anywhere in scriptures does it say, turn off your brain, use something to make you not think. Be sober, be vigilant, and Peter speaks about girding up the loins of our mind in 1 Peter 1:13, that's chapter 5, I think. Being sober, being vigilant, girding up the loins of our mind certainly doesn't speak to me of ungirding, just letting loose our mind and bombarding it with something that will just make me not have to think. And an example to me would be, I played cribbage growing up with my grandfather. And I think I've told you before, he cheated. And he's gone now. That was my mother's father, Grandpa Miller. And so, for Grandpa's sake, I had a cribbage app on my, or a little game on my phone, and played in cribbage. And I remember convincing myself that, this is good. At the end of a work day, if I'm stressing out, I just want to be able to not think. And that enables me to not think. Wow. Wow. And as I was studying this week for this, that was one of the things that got deleted off my phone. Because I looked at that, the word amusement, and not think, and telling myself that the whole reason I was doing that little game, for example, was to not have to think. Paul wrote to the Church of God in Corinth, that was a pretty fleshly-oriented church, as you all know, or many of you know. In his second epistle, 2 Corinthians 10, speaking about whether or not we should partake in activities which are specifically designed to have us not think. Now, he said that though we walk in the flesh, this is chapter 10, verse 3 through 6 of 2 Corinthians, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and here's the punchline, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Wow, how can you take that verse, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and then say it's biblical to say, take something that causes you to not think? You can't. At least scripturally, you can't. So does your question, does your digital diet align with that criteria? Thinking about what you're thinking about as opposed to being amused by electronics, which means literally to not think. You say, well, I am thinking. Well, what are you thinking about in your consumption of this digital diet? Are you thinking about the things that God wants you to think about? Well, what are those, Pastor Geist? Well, you know what those are. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, did he not, about things to think about? Philippians 4:8, ring any bells? Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Does your digital diet align with that criteria? I'm glad you're all answering your head. Yes, no. So there's amusement, and then there's just escapism. They kind of go together. Why do people do drugs? Why do often? Why do people consume alcohol? Well, I got problems, and I want to get rid of my problems, so I will just dull my senses so I can go off into another world. The only problem is when you come back, that world of problems is still there, is it not? Wouldn't the same thing apply? How a lot of people use electronic media. I have the stresses of life. I have this issue and that issue. So instead of maybe tipping the bottle, I will just immerse myself in some form of a digital diet and just escape. And then you just have to really ask yourself, well, what is truth? What is reality? And what is another sense of reality, which isn't really reality or truth at all? And that's Pilate looked at truth himself, Jesus Christ, and said, what is truth? And maybe you need to ask yourself that if you're using electronics just to escape life. Escapism, there's really not a whole lot of difference between that and other types of drugs, these digital drugs. And, of course, Pilate asked that question, and then he didn't wait for an answer because he knew he was staring at truth. What is truth? There's truth, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what is our reality? It's not escaping in some electronic world. It's reality is Christ. That's truth, and our reality is heaven, coming unto the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And so we are to align, putting all that together, we are to align our thoughts and our lives with biblical, spiritual, eternal realities, as opposed to worldly, temporal lies and digital delusions. And that's quite a mouthful. I can almost not say it myself, so I'll repeat it. This is the end of the intro. We'll have our quick 3 points and be done. We are to align our thoughts and our lives with biblical, spiritual, eternal realities and truth, as opposed to worldly, temporal lies and digital delusions, and that would be amusements and escapism. So what really are the scriptural principles at play here? And they've kind of been mixed in the introduction here. I believe there are plenty of scriptural principles. My wife said, sounds like you could turn this into a series. But there is a lot here. I believe if I studied this out, it would be a study that would just go on and on and on. So I broke it down and just said, God, give me 3 points, and can they please be alliterated? And he said, yes, my child, I love you so much. I know that it would make you anxious and shaky if I didn't do that. So he gave me 3 points. They're alliterated. We already pretty much covered one, temperance, which was really our opening, a component of the fruit of the Spirit. And then we'll look at time. And we'll look at togetherness, temperance, time, and togetherness. So if you're taking notes, there are your 3 points. And you can leave a little space in between as we blast through them. Temperance, we already went through our text. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You can't take it out of being a component of the fruit of the Spirit. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, and he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, Are you risen with Christ? Do you have the power of the resurrection in your life? He rose up that you might have eternal life. You're a possessor of eternal life by grace through faith. If ye then be risen with Christ, and that's all you that proclaim Christ and know that you know that you know that you're saved based on the more sure word of God. If ye then be risen with Christ, that's all of you, amen, that know Christ and are spiritually his children, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Does your digital diet align with that criteria? As Paul, again, spoke to the church in Colossae, and that was the opening three verses of chapter 3 of Colossians. And it ties in with the speaking of the fruit of the Spirit, because they that are Christ, as Paul wrote to the churches in the region of Galatia, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And that's what he was writing to the church in Colossae about setting where we're to set our affections, not on a digital diet, but on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Self-control or temperance, which is a component of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control builds upon faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, believing God's word and acting upon it, receiving and believing, receiving that gift of salvation. And Brother Josh Hauer taught through a series, I believe it was Wednesday night or Sunday night, on 2 Peter chapter 1 on these things that build up upon our faith, a great series. From 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, beside this, giving all knowledge, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance or self-control. How can we say that self-control or temperance is not what God wants in our life? We can't. And it can't just be, well, a general, I'll be temperate. I'll have self-control. Well, in what areas? And you all started giving me the areas, and I believe it would certainly be a biblical application to apply it to our digital or electronic consumption. But I don't find that in the Bible. Jesus Christ wasn't walking around with a smartphone. We understand that. So we make all sorts of applications to the society which we live in today, starting with this biblical principle of control and building upon our faith and adding to it. And then it goes on to say, after it continues to build from temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For if these things, which would include temperance, that's building on our faith, if these things be in you and abound, so an abounding self-control, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Well, if you take the corollary of that in application, if I'm not abounding in self-control, I would be tending more towards being barren and unfruitful. Amen? And we said before, we want to be fruity. Fruit of the Spirit, and it ties in right here. Peter writing. And ye shall neither be barren nor fruitful, if these things are in you and abound. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And that would certainly be the case of just being dependent on a stream of electronic devices, whatever the specific example might be in your life. So focused in on that, it becomes very, very temporal focused. And it's like we become blind as Christians and can't see far off. What's afar off? Eternity and the souls that we're dealing with on a daily basis, where they're going to spend eternity. That's pretty far off, and we can't see that if we're succumbing to the lust of the flesh and having a lack of temperance or lack of control. A bishop, elder, a pastor must exercise self-control. It's right there in Paul writing to Titus as he was in Crete, and he was telling them to set up the leadership, giving some guidelines there, just like he wrote to Timothy. And so in Titus chapter 1, giving the qualifications for a bishop, it says a bishop must be temperate, must exercise self-control. And you say, whew, well, I'm not called to be a pastor. I'll never hold the office of a bishop, so I'm off the hook. No, you're not, because you just have to continue reading that letter that Paul wrote to Titus to not only set in place the things that we're wanting in terms of the leadership in the assemblies there on the island of Crete, where you were just there, right? Do they exercise self-control? Are they temperate in Crete? They weren't when I was there many years ago, and I'm guessing it just has gotten worse since then. So then he goes on, and that was in chapter 1. In chapter 2, who does he speak to? Speak now the things which become sound doctrine. And who does he go down the list? Aged men. What does he say to Titus to tell the leadership in the various assemblies, the various churches in Crete, to teach the aged men? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate. There it is. So now we just took it out of the realm of, well, only the bishops, only the leaders, only the pastors and elders have to be temperate and have self-control. No, the aged men need to. And then if you know how that has fleshed itself out going on from there, as I believe we looked at in the adult Sunday school class sometime back, aged men, and then it goes to the aged women, and it starts with a likewise in there. And so aged women are to be temperate. And then it goes, speaks of the aged women teaching the younger women, kind of a, hey, those same things. They should teach the younger women to be temperate. And then it throws in the young men. And so really, everyone there in the churches in Crete were to be temperate and exercise self-control. And so too should we. So T, number one, temperance. Number two, T, time. Time. Just looking at some biblical principles that apply to problems we might have with digital drugs, being digitally drug dependent. Ephesians chapter 5 speaks about time. Verse 15 to 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It was true 2,000 years ago. It's certainly true today. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And a parallel passage, as Paul, at roughly the same time and place, was writing also to the church in Colossae from prison. So we see a lot of similar passages between those two epistles. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. With lost souls out there dying and going to hell, do we have time to sit and just waste hours of our time on digital drugs? And I hope your answer is no. No, we don't have that time. Romans chapter 13 says this, beginning at verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. How much less time do you have now than when you first got saved to tell others about your salvation? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, not in hours and hours and hours of digital drug. Yes, I inserted that just to see if you were still awake. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you awake? And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And as James tells us, what is your life? It's just but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. It appears for a little teeny tiny time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Would we apply that to our digital consumption of electronic media? Do we dare say, Lord, what is your will in my life in this particular area? It'd be interesting what the Lord might say. We might, related to time, just be sleeping ourselves away spiritually. Just like the John chapter 4. As we spoke of in Sunday school this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ was sharing the gospel with the woman at the well, and they were just worried about their flesh. Might we not make the same application? There are those that are out there just passionate, concerned about seeking the lost, and we're just consumed with amusing ourselves with electronic entertainment. Ouch. You know, we read John chapter 4 and we say, ouch, as the Lord kind of stung them. Hey, you're just filling your belly, getting in town, getting burgers, and I'm witnessing to this woman. And you come back and you're shocked that I'm even talking to her. And come on, there's a harvest here. We don't have time to just chunk away hours and hours and hours. Have you ever said this? And that's rhetorical because I think we all have. I'm so busy. I just don't have time for fill in the blank. consistent Bible reading, consistent prayer life, ministries. I just don't have time for that ministry anymore. I just don't have time to add another ministry. I know there are areas in the church with things may be changing up for 2016 and opportunities to serve, but I just don't have any more time. Can you really say that, look at yourself in the mirror, and write down how much time a day you spend on the internet, how much time a day you spend on Facebook, how much time a day you spend gaming, how much time of day you just consume digital media that really has nothing to do with being a useful tool in your life, but it's just a wasting time? Can you really evaluate that and then say, oh, I just don't have time for something spiritual, something important, something of everlasting importance in our lives, much more important in the lives of another a soul that needs to hear the gospel. Certainly applied to spiritual matters, but we can also say the same thing about other things that just need to happen. I'm so busy, I just don't have time to read a good book. I don't have time to get the honeydew list done. I don't have time for just some enjoyable hobbies that I used to. I don't have time just to spend with my family. Really? You can spend hours a day consuming amusements and entertainments and electronics, but you can't spend 10 minutes listening to one of your children tell you what's on their heart. Ouch! That should be very convicting, not because I said it, but because the Holy Spirit speaks to me about this as well. I live where you live in this same electronic world. And then how about just that's spiritual sleep. How about just physical sleep? Lack thereof due to digital dilly-dallying. And we laugh. And yet I've seen some of us here in the church show up for a ministry or show up for a service, show up for a Sunday school class looking like you got about 2 hours of sleep, and it's because you have. And you'll freely admit that. And you'll say, well, what? You went to bed at 4 in the morning. Why? Watching movies all night, gaming all night, doing something, digital consumption. And you just say, really? Really? That's a warning sign. Time. I said I'd go fast, so I'll press on. What was the final T? You tell me. Togetherness. And this would certainly speak to lack thereof, being a lack of temperance, lack of self-control, and focusing more and more on self, how I can be amused and entertained, as opposed to how I can serve others. It should be less of self, more of Christ, more of others. Being digitally drug dependent tends to reverse that, and it tends to be more of self, less of Christ, less of others. And we've been looking at that throughout the day. John chapter 3 and verse 30. He must increase, I must decrease. In general, and I know we have Bible apps on our phones and prayer apps on our phones, so this is a balance. I'm speaking of the other silly things we do electronically that just waste away time, that really draw attention away from Christ. And we increase and Christ decreases, just the opposite of what John the Baptist said. And as Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, chapter 2 and verse 4, he said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Key word, others. Less of self, less of entertaining me, less of amusing me, less of self, more of Christ, more of others. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And I don't think any of us could really deny, maybe you can. Certainly you could. I don't believe truthfully, but you could try. I don't think we could deny that a greater and greater influx of digital drugs into our body causes us more and more to want to be concerned with others and focus on meeting the needs of others as opposed to being drawn in ourselves. And I thought of an example of this about a dozen years ago, back when I had just gotten a cell phone, and it was only because I had to, because I was living overseas and I was in my department head tour, and they had to be able to get a hold of me at any time. And I thought that was silly, and here we are. That was just a dozen years ago. And now we would find it crazy to not walk around with a phone in our pocket or our purse or whatever. So this was 12 years ago when cell phones were really just starting to pick up, or maybe it was years before that and I'm just late to the game, which is usually the case. But I was there in Ceuta, in Crete, the island of Crete, and I was officer in charge of a detachment of Navy guys from my squadron in Spain. And as such, I had to go to weekly meetings with the base commanding officer, and he had his department heads, and then any tenant commands, anyone that was using his base and living there, the officers in charge of those units had to come and meet with him for his weekly department head meetings or base meetings. And I remember the first time I was in one of his meetings where someone's phone went off. And this, again, was earlier in the days of cell phones. And he stopped speaking, and he said, "Whoever the person is on the other end of that phone better outrank me." And I'll never forget that. And what was he saying? You know, I'm here, and I'm in charge, and you should be focusing on me, and you shouldn't be focusing on someone else outside the room right now. It wasn't my phone. Thank the Lord. I was just poor little junior lieutenant commander, and he was big bad captain. Anyway, I've thought about that, and I've thought about how that would apply today and what I see in our lives, just this world in which we live. And let me say this, and apply this test to yourself. You might be digitally drug dependent. If you're in the physical presence of family and friends and fellow believers here in the Lord, and someone or something on a mobile electronic device demands more of your attention than those that you're with. You might be digitally drug dependent if you automatically react to anything incoming electronically over anything or anyone you're presently engaged with. Think of another base commanding officer. This was not a personal experience. It was relayed to me by a coworker some years back who was down at the base CO's office here on Whidbey Island. And they had some sort of one-on-one meeting with the base CO. And this individual was in the skipper's office, and they were going over whatever the business was, and the CO's phone rang. And the individual that was there meeting with the base CO just kept expecting the CO to pick up the phone and start speaking or answering. And he kind of said, "Well, sir, not your phone's ringing, duh, but, you know, go ahead and answer the phone like he had." And the skipper said, why would I automatically assume that whoever's on that phone is more important than you? You're sitting here in my office with me. Why would I automatically assume that? I've never forgotten that. It wasn't even me in the office. It was just relayed to me. And some of you maybe have experienced that in my office when we've been chatting. You've made the effort to come and stop by the church and sit down with me and discuss something that's important. Why would I automatically assume that whoever's ringing that phone is more important than you are? And so don't be uncomfortable if you're in my office with me and I just let the phone ring. I should, and so should you. If you're speaking to someone that's important in your life, and whatever, why would you automatically assume that you need to stop what you're doing and tell the person you're with by your actions that whatever or whoever on that phone is more important than they are? That's a problem. And I believe it speaks against the scriptural principles of putting others over self. Amen. I'm not against technology and electronics. I love all the little gizmos, and again, I like the way it makes my life more efficient in many, many different ways. But we must apply biblical principles, just straightforward, for example, the biblical principle of just temperance, self-control, to this area of our lives and the area of just what we're doing with our time and what we're doing in terms of signals to people that we're with, our family and our friends and those around us, what we're telling them about what's really important, whoever or whatever's on this silly thing, or being with them face-to-face. We have a little joke that's not a joke in our family. It sends a very strong signal. We call it family time. And they're all laughing at me. What is family time? It's when we're sitting there in the living room all together and one by one I just need to check this, and then and then the person that's not engaged electronically looks at the others and says, oh, I guess we're having family time. And it's kind of funny, but it's really not. And it's really so not funny that the ones that are just got called out sheepishly kind of put it down and say, I get it. You want me to treat you more important than this stupid thing. It's very convicting. So what do we do about it? 1 Corinthians 10:13 speaks of the Lord giving us a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape that you may be able to bear it. But the important part there, and the application I want to make as we wrap this up and give some hope and give some concrete things that we can do. And we're going to call in the DEA for this, the Drug Enforcement Agency, to help us deal with digital drugs. In rewording 1 Corinthians 10:13 in a different way in application, why would you resist what you can avoid? Why resist what you can avoid? If God gives us a way to escape, why would you sit there and have something in front of you, any lust of the flesh, you know, whether it be alcohol, drugs, digital drugs, as we're talking about tonight, why would you sit there and put it in front of you and then say, I'm just going to use my willpower, have this internal temperance, self-control? You're going to fail. The flesh is going to win eventually, and probably sooner rather than later. So why would you do that? Why would you try and resist what you can simply avoid? And again, the principle would come from God giving us a way to escape that we may be able to bear it, applied in this area, 1 Corinthians 10:13. So let's call in the DEA for our conclusion here and our 3 points of application. Not the Drug Enforcement Agency. D, delete. Delete what? Games and apps and phones and electronics out of your life that are causing problems based on everything you've heard tonight and the Holy Spirit is just pricking your heart about. Really? Why would I say I'm not going to play games on my phone as much anymore? You know you will. You'll do it even more instead of less. Why? Because it's the flesh, and the flesh is never satisfied. It wants more and more and more. So why sit there and try and resist it? Why not just, there's this little cool thing, a trash can. Really? Yeah, I did that this week to cribbage and Yahtzee. I didn't play Yahtzee with my grandpa. I played that as a kid with my mom and my siblings. But it was being a time waster, and it was a form of amusement, and I don't want to shut off my brain. I don't want to not think. I don't want to be amused. Gone. Delete. Why resist it when you can just avoid it completely? So the D is delete. The E, employ scheduling rules. And this would be really fathers taking the lead in our homes, as the case may be here. Apply scheduling rules. No electronics. I'm just giving you some samples, examples. You can do whatever you want. Heads of homes, or if you're a single guy, make up your own rules. No electronics at the dinner table. That's hard because you go out to eat now, and what does Olive Garden do? They put this stupid electronic box on your table and say, well, put some money in and play games, or it'll entertain your kids, because we know that you won't bother to teach your kids how to behave in a restaurant. So just feed them digital drugs and just turn them into being a drug-dependent kid. Ugh. Tell you what, I like their food, but don't put a digital drug in front of me when I just want a meal. So employ some scheduling rules. For example, no digital drugs at the dinner table, no digital consumption after a certain time, and you've probably heard some other examples, but sit down as a family and talk about these and make some rules. Employ scheduling rules. So delete games, apps, whatever the case may be. E, employ scheduling rules. A, apply the ministry of replacement. Like anything in your life, when you get rid of that which needs to go, if you don't fill it with something, what's going to happen? There's just this sucking vacuum with you. It's just going to suck it right back into your life, probably even more so than you had there before. Any lust of the flesh, whatever the case may be, but we're talking digital drugs, digital consumption. So if you're going to remove some of those things, replace them with something. I find myself in thinking about this in my life and my family's life, desire, and I kind of joked about it, and maybe I'll put some constraints on it, but I said, you know, what if I gave you for Christmas unlimited ability to purchase good quality books? I just gave you an unlimited, here, anything, anytime you find a good book, you just go buy it. Just this thinking of the ministry of replacement, any time spent on electronic media, I'd rather have my kids reading books, and they have grown up as large consumers of books. But as the world of electronics just deluges all of us, fight back, ministry of replacement. So just you remove something electronic, replace it with good. Do people read books anymore? Yeah. We got some good ones in the bookstore there, and you'll all tell me if you consume a lot of movies, yuck, yuck, Hollywood nasty, Hollywood hates your family. Someone said that recently. 98% of the time, isn't a book better than a stupid movie Hollywood produces anyway, based on the book? Amen, hallelujah. Ministry, apply the ministry of replacement entertainment. Exercise, get up, get down, and get out. Go walking, just say hi to a neighbor. Find out their name. Invite them to church. We have those that are setting a wonderful example for that for us in the church here. So entertainment, ministry of replacement, get something else in there. Exercise, just get up, get healthy, interact with your neighbors, interact with the world instead of just sitting in your cave and consuming electronics. And engagement, the final E under DEA, engagement. With who? Those you care about, your family, your friends, your church members. Look them in the eye and say, how you doing? What are your struggles? Can I pray for you? Can we pray together? I love you. What's going on in your life? What's the, you know, how's God working in your heart as opposed to, Wow. Be willing to call each other out. Maybe you can go home tonight and make a pact. A digital drug compact of accountability within your family and say, you know what? If you see me ignoring you for a stupid piece of electronics, call me out on it. And I won't fight back. I'll just say, you're absolutely right. And put it down and engage your family or whoever called you out. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. I don't know if there's a closing invitational hymn that deals with electronics, but we sang a hymn right before. We sang... Oh, I surrender all. Amen. Lay it at the altar. And whatever I make, selling it on Craigslist, I'll put it back in the offering. And the second verse of what we sang, nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem. Must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all. There's nothing between.
The preceding message was preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church, Oak Harbor, Washington. You can find additional information about the church and our publications ministry on the web at bbcoakharbor.org. For further assistance with specific questions, please feel free to give us a call at area code 360-675-8311. Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that you received a blessing from the preaching of God's Word.